Typically, most people today simply do not know. They just do not know. I believe the primary cause for this ignorance, and I tried to preach about that a little bit last week, about the spiritual blindness that people have. They just cannot see. The veil is upon their face. But if they will turn to the Lord, the veil will be removed, and they'll experience the forgiveness of sin, and God's grace will flood their souls. If thou knewest the gift of God. You know, many of us today know the Lord. What a great thing it is. John talked about this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding." Saved people have a spiritual understanding. Now, we're not better than the rest of the world. We're not elite people. We're not a better race. We're simply the children of God. And everyone can be saved. And everybody can become a part of God's family if they will seek Christ and trust in Him. And by faith, through grace, they too can be made children of God. Amen. But there's an understanding, a spiritual life that comes into us. Let me say this, as the great scholar said long ago, Lightfoot said, "Have you a new life in you that did not exist in you before that came from God?" Do you have that today? And you don't know anything about the gift of God unless you do. If thou only knew. We have an understanding. If you only knew. Isaiah preached about this in Isaiah 55 and 1. He said, "Oh, everyone that thirst, come ye to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." To be a free gift, you must come without money and without price. You can't buy this. You cannot obtain this by works or by deeds. You must come beneath the grace of God and trust in Jesus with all of your heart to be your Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 7 verse 37, in that last day of the great feast, Jesus shouted and cried saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water." That rivers of water, he said, was the Holy Ghost. My friend, unless the Holy Ghost has come into you, you have not received the free gift of God. Amen. Jesus still today is crying out to you to come. So people today, they're just thoughtless sinners. They're not thinking about... Have you been thinking about spiritual things lately? Anybody here been thinking about spiritual things? You've not been thinking about spiritual things, but now suddenly something has happened. God is working in your heart and life. You've come underneath the sound of the gospel. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And coming underneath the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will start drawing you, working in your heart, probing your heart, stirring your heart. Many of the questions that you have that keep you stumped, keep you from coming to a spiritual knowledge, a spiritual understanding of Jesus Christ, they are one by one eliminated, as we see Jesus eliminating in the Samaritan woman's mind. If thou only knew the gift of God. The primary cause for not receiving everlasting life is ignorance. People just don't know. Let us read on, verse 10. I don't know if I'll get beyond verse 10 or not. If you knew the gift of God. I want to say to each one of you that are here this morning, this spiritual life in Christ Jesus is available to you. And if you only knew what was available to you, you wouldn't be sitting at your seat when I give the invitation. You'd be on your face crying out to God, calling on the Lord and praying and finding Jesus precious to your soul. If you only knew, I hope this stirs a desire in your heart. We have a fabulous thing, those of us that are saved. We know that we know that we know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We have a spiritual assurance in our hearts that we received when we repented of our sins and trusted in Jesus Christ. We experienced the new birth. We experienced the living water. We experienced the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you only knew what was available to you, oh, the greatest joy we have in knowing that our sins are blotted out and our sins are covered. What a wonderful thing it is this morning to know that you've been forgiven of your sins and you're going to meet God one day and you're going to see the face of Jesus Christ. We know that. We know, and we have understanding. We have a spiritual knowledge and a spiritual understanding that most people do not have. I hope it prompts you, entices you, causes a desire to spring up in you to come and receive this life that's in Christ Jesus. I believe that's what He stirred in this woman's heart. If you only knew the gift of God that was available to you, and who it is that saith unto thee, do you know Jesus Christ? I mean, this Samaritan woman was talking to the incarnate God. Amen? Right. He was born a virgin. Amen. I mean, He was before He was. Amen? He was infinite. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He was God manifest in the flesh, God seen of angels, God justified, priest among the Gentiles, God justified in the Spirit, God called up to glory. He was God. He was Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Nissan. He was El Shaddai. He was Elohim. He was God. Amen. He was the Word that was. Amen. And He became flesh. Oh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. By Him all things were created. Without Him was not anything that was created. He was God. He said unto her, if you only knew who you were talking with. Let me pause and say this. When the Holy Spirit begins to tug at your soul, Jesus is speaking to you.
Amen.
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 Yeah, that's your personal encounter. Now you can be obstinate like this woman began to be. She began to propose questions and concerns about religious things. The most important thing is, what you need to understand is you might try to bring up your preconceived notions and ideas about religion. You might bring up Catholicism or the Methodists or the Church of God, or you might bring up all these doctrinal disputes. My friend, you need to quit disputing and start seeking the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care what denomination you are, you must be born again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Living water has to spring up in your heart. You must have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. However, some of these doctrinal delusions can keep you from surrendering to the spiritual drawing of God. It was keeping her, wasn't it? What she had learned about the doctrine of the Samaritans, the contrast between the Samaritan, the reproduction of those things that the Jews did. It was keeping her. It was a hang-up. Listen to me real clear, carefully, okay? Any religion or religious belief that keeps you from having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ is not from God.
Amen.
Whether it's Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. Every person must have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit, see, when He left, yes, He ascended and sat down to the right hand of the Father, but He told the disciples, He says, I'm coming back. I am not going to leave you. I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to come. I believe the Holy Ghost is just as much God as Jesus Christ is God. And He said, I'll send the Holy Ghost. and it will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And that Holy Spirit, when it comes, it begins to convict you and it begins to make you conscious and aware of certain things that you do not have. The eternal life that is in Christ Jesus, when it causes you to realize that you are a sinner, and it begins to expose the sinfulness of your soul, just like this encounter here. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But look down in here. I'm going to jump down. Y'all, most of you, I'm sure, know this story. He says to this woman, notice, she began to divert, you know, get away. And isn't that typical of people? You know, I'm out, I'm talking to religious people, and I'm really mostly concerned that they're saved. I know there's a lot of doctrinal wrongs out there, all right? And, you know, listen, you can debate and dispute doctrinal things till you're blue in the face, but unless you start dealing with these spiritual issues, nobody's going to get saved. Amen. And Jesus here began to expose her sin. He said in verse 16, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Why? This is something the woman really didn't want to talk about. And people, you know, when you start digging around in spiritual things, one thing that must be exposed is sin. Amen. Right. See, this encounter in Samaria was the Savior meeting a sinner. Why, if you read on here, she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." She said, "Sure, you don't have a husband. You've already had five husbands, and you're living with a man right now. You're living in adultery right now." Uh-oh. Do we have to talk about that? Yes, you do. Amen. You will never be saved unless you confess your sins before God. If you don't come to the Savior as a sinner, you'll never experience the grace that comes from the throne of God. Jesus said He came to save sinners. This is a true and faithful saying. Paul said when he wrote to the young Mr. Timothy, this is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Praise God, I'm glad He came to save sinners. Amen. But the first thing the Holy Spirit will start to do is expose your sin. All right, let's back up. I'm a little ahead of myself. I'm going to try to get through here in just a minute. But verse 10, "If thou only knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee." He was the incarnate Son of God. He was the one that was predicted and prophesied of that would crush the head of the serpent. He was the seed of Abraham that would, by His seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. He was the seed of David. He is the bright and morning star. He is the one, the fairest of 10,000. Amen. Yes, He is our lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the one who was to come, who came, and is forevermore. I believe He's the President of Presidents. He's the Governor of Governors. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you only realize that when the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, you're dealing with God.
Amen.
Now, on occasions, we've had invitational hymns, and I believe God was dealing with your heart. And it was as though you yourself, listen to me, as though you yourself were sitting beside of Him on a well. And He's saying, if you only knew how good it is to have the gift of God, to have eternal life, if you only realized who it was that was calling you, Jesus is calling some of you, and you're not responding. Now, let me deal with just a few of the things with regard to this. He says, if you would, notice here, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest have asked of me. Let me say something about obtaining this gift. You will never obtain the gift of eternal life unless you ask for it.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you only realize who I am and what I had to offer you, you would ask of me. And I would have given, notice here in this passage, He says, and I would have given you living water. You will never be saved unless you pray.
Amen.
All down through the ages, people have simply failed to ask and pray. Isn't it a shame? The old prophets long ago, in Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 6, the prophet said this, he said, "And them that turn back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of Him." If you would only seek the Lord and inquire of Him, if you would only ask of Him, He would deliver you and give you living water. Many people have not because they ask not. That's what the good book says. That's how it works. Amen. How do you obtain eternal life? You must ask for it. But I need to backpedal just a little bit. See, I contend this implies a person must pray in order to be saved. Now, I know out there in the world, they offer many formulas. They're still confusing running water for living water. They're confusing many things about this gift of God. But I still contend, they're using formulas. Man, you need to fall on your face before God and beg for mercy. Amen. Just like that Pharisee did, just like that publican did, just like the Nicodemus eventually did, just like this Samaritan woman, I believe she called out to the Lord. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You must call on the Lord. You must pray. Amen. Our personal encounter with the Lord comes through prayer. It is spiritual. I believe prayer is essential. Prayer is necessary. The water is the emblem of life. And the way to get it into your soul is that you must pray. What's the woman saying? The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Once again, confusing carnal and spiritual. I don't want you confused this morning about carnal and spiritual. She's still looking. See, most of us are addicted to our carnal senses. We've got to see it. We've got to hear it. We've got to touch it with our hands. We've got to smell it. We're addicted to our carnal senses. But there's a spiritual sense that God is trying to awaken in your soul. Through the preaching of the cross and the drawing of the Spirit. And you need to get away from some of the carnal senses and you need to exercise faith. It is not by sight, my friend. You must have a prayer of faith. Amen. Faith! Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in His atoning death, believing in His resurrection, believing in Him to be your Savior and to be your Lord. You must trust in Him. You must believe in Him or the water of life will never get in you. Faith. She was still confused. Carnal. She said, "Well, where's your bucket? Well, how are you going to get water out of this 100-foot well? Are you better than Jacob who dug this well? He fed his children, his cattle. We're still drinking from it today. This well's been around here for a long time. What are you talking about?" And Jesus answered the son unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." I don't know how anybody can believe in losing your salvation. I mean, Jesus said, if you get a drink of this, you'll never thirst for it again. I mean, you know, if you have to get saved a second time, then you thirsted a second time. And you're making Jesus a liar. He said to her, "If you drink of this water that I have." You know why? Because it satisfies the spiritual longing of the soul. But it doesn't come through human reasoning. I believe it was Paul that said in the book of Corinthians, the world by reason knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I believe all the streams of life flow into Jesus Christ. That grace is received into the soul through Him. The aching void that is within, that ache can only be satisfied and filled by the flooding flow of Jesus Christ and His grace. You need a wave of God's grace to flood your soul. And you can have that happen. It will spring up in you if you will come to Jesus, praying, believing that He is, believing in Him, trusting in Him to be your Savior. If you will ask of Him, if you would only ask of who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He will give you living water. What I give you, He says, will be in Him a well of water. Look at verse 14. Springing up in everlasting life. She says, well, give it to me. Nonchalantly. Listen, you know, it doesn't come that way. That's when He begins to expose her sin. Says, call your husband. Let's deal with the genuine reasons why this living water cannot come into you. It's because you won't confess that you're a sinner. You won't admit that you're guilty before God. You won't come to the Lord. But listen, this living water only flows to those who desire it, who come confessing their sins, who realize they're undeserving of it. Only those that are guilty before God and condemned by God understand that the flow that comes from Calvary can cleanse them from sin. Only those that are sinners receive forgiveness of sin. Unless you acknowledge your sins, you cannot receive forgiveness. So, what am I saying? If you're going to come to Jesus, you must come as a sinner. This grace comes to those that are lowly. Those like that publican who beat upon his breast, would not so much lift up his eyes into heaven and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You must come confessing your sins. Come realizing that you need the cleansing flow. I pray as we stand and sing a verse of some song that someone today will yield to Jesus. That you will surrender your life to Him, your heart to Him. Come repenting of sin, turning from sin, acknowledging your sinfulness. Realize today that it is your sins that crucified the Savior. And a water, a living flow. The Spirit of the Bride today is saying, come. And he that has heard this message, I believe people sitting beside of you that have experienced this eternal life, that have been saved, they also are saying, come. I believe the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is saying this morning, as we read in the last chapter of Revelation, it's saying, come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come and drink of this water. Let us stand and sing. Would you come today? You must come.